Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel according to Matthew. We'll read Matthew chapter 4. In connection with Lord's Day 48 and the petition, "Thy kingdom come." Matthew 4, we'll read the entire chapter. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' And Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.' From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. It's in connection with this section of Scripture that we treat the petition, "Thy Kingdom Come," as our catechism summarizes the meaning of that petition in Lord's Day 48. Lord's Day 48, question and answer 123, found on page 26 in the back of the Psalter. And there we read, which is the second petition? Thy kingdom come. That is, rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, is it your delight to serve God in His kingdom? And is it your desire to grow in that service? Jesus Christ Himself, as is evident from His whole ministry, delighted to serve God throughout His whole life, dedicated Himself to that heavenly kingdom which He came to establish. But just as Jesus Christ delighted in that kingdom, so the Spirit of Christ works in our hearts so that you and I delight to serve God in His kingdom. First, He gives us a new heart by the work of the Spirit, and then out of that new heart flows the desire to submit ourselves more and more to the rule of God. And therefore, it's impossible for us to pray, "Thy kingdom come," sincerely. It's impossible to pray that prayer unless God has first worked in our hearts and given us that new heart. And yet, there is, yes, the kingdom has come, but there is a sense in which that kingdom has not come yet in its perfection. That's true in ourselves. We will never have in this life the perfection of that kingdom. We have only a small beginning of that new obedience. And that kingdom must yet come because we ourselves do not seek that kingdom as we ought to seek that kingdom. We don't have the zeal that we ought to have for that kingdom. By nature, we seek an earthly and a physical kingdom. And so we pray. We are taught by Jesus to pray, this petition, Thy kingdom come. I read Matthew 4 because it indicates something of the nature of Christ's kingdom. Christ's kingdom is not an earthly and physical kingdom, the kind of kingdom that the devil wanted to establish, but Christ's kingdom is a heavenly and a spiritual kingdom. And that's evident, too, when Jesus began to preach in verse 17 of that chapter, Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the kingdom that Jesus teaches us to pray for when we say, Thy kingdom come. So I want to consider that petition under that theme, Thy kingdom come. Let's note in the first place that that is a heavenly kingdom. Secondly, there is a real coming of that kingdom. And lastly, we point to the fact that that is therefore a spiritual petition. We need to understand, if we are going to pray this petition, Thy kingdom come, you and I must understand, what are we actually praying for? What is this kingdom for which we make our petition to God? We need to understand it because there are many in the church world who do not understand the nature of this kingdom. Many in the church world have a wrong conception of the kingdom. The devil has been promoting that wrong conception of the kingdom from the very beginning of time. When he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, and when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, the devil was promoting his idea of the kingdom. And in that kingdom, it is man who determines good and evil. You do what you want. In that kingdom, God is not the ruler. God is set aside in that earthly and physical kingdom that the devil seeks to establish. And he's been doing everything he can from the very beginning of time to subvert that kingdom of God. When Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, that was part of the devil's scheme to subvert the kingdom. When Cain killed Abel, it was to keep Christ from coming. The devil tried to keep Christ from coming also in the violence that occurred in the world before the flood. Persecution of God's people, so that the church was so small that God would spare the church through the flood. Or we could point to the plot of Haman in the time of Esther, in which he served as a servant of the devil, Haman wanting to destroy God's people, which if he had accomplished his desire, would have kept Christ from coming. Or we could point to Herod's plot when Jesus had been born, killing all the babies in Bethlehem and the surrounding area in order to get rid of the Christ. Well, it's not surprising then that when Jesus began his earthly ministry, the devil tempted him with an earthly physical kingdom. When Jesus had spent 40 days in the wilderness, the devil came and tempted him. We read that in Matthew 4. Came and tempted him to reject the heavenly spiritual kingdom and to pursue instead that earthly physical kingdom. And in every temptation, the devil alludes to the fact that Jesus came to seek a kingdom. It might not appear on the surface immediately, but when you note that in every temptation, the devil came to Jesus and says to Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God." If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If thou be the Son of God. And he goes through the temptations with that question, or with that phrase, "If thou be the Son of God." And he is alluding to the fact, if thou be the Christ, if you are the King, the Anointed One. And that's evident that that title, Son of God, refers to the Christ when Peter makes his confession later during Jesus' ministry. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Anointed One. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the King. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Son of God, if thou art the Son of God, refers to Jesus as the Christ, the Anointed King who has come to establish His kingdom. And that was evident too when Jesus was tried before the Sanhedrin. They put Jesus under oath. The high priest says, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." They understood that Christ, the Anointed One, was coming to establish a kingdom. And so they charged him also when he was set before Pilate. "He makes himself to be a king." So the devil knew very well Christ was coming to establish his kingdom. And how did he try to persuade Jesus to reject that heavenly spiritual kingdom? Well, first, he sought to get Jesus to reject God's Word, to seek after physical bread, the bread that fills the belly. "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And if Jesus used his powers to turn those stones into bread, he could create his own earthly physical kingdom. Indeed, if he would make bread for the masses, turning stones into bread, he could gather to himself a great earthly physical kingdom. But the kingdom that Jesus sought was not that kind of kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus sought was a kingdom according to the Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Next, the devil came to Jesus and tempted him to cast himself off of the temple, off the pinnacle of the temple. And if Jesus had done that, And the angels had come down and saved him in front of the crowds. The people would have seen that great miracle that Jesus had performed, and they would have made Jesus their king. But Jesus understood that his kingdom, the kind of kingdom he sought, was not the kind of kingdom that would force God in his providence to come and save him from casting himself off the temple. That kind of kingdom that Jesus came to seek was not a kind of kingdom that would seek our own wishes and make God bow to our wishes, but it was the kind of kingdom that would submit, in which the subjects of that kingdom would submit to God's rule, including His rule of providence. And one last temptation in which the devil sought to lead Christ away from that heavenly spiritual kingdom and to seek after an earthly physical kingdom was that last temptation, offering to Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. He takes Jesus to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms, and says, "These kingdoms will be yours, all these earthly physical kingdoms, if you bow down to me." But Jesus understood that his kingdom was a kingdom, not a kingdom that worships the devil, but a kingdom in which God is served and he alone is served. So Jesus says, "Him only," referring to God, "him only shalt thou serve." You can see throughout history how the devil is seeking to establish an earthly physical kingdom. The world around us seeks after an earthly physical kingdom. And our old man wants that kind of kingdom, a glorious earthly physical kingdom. So we are prone. We are prone by nature to seek after that earthly kingdom. But that's not the kingdom. That's not the kingdom that we are praying for when we say, "Thy kingdom come." Jesus took on human flesh and was anointed king in order to establish a heavenly and spiritual kingdom. And we ought to understand that when we pray that petition that Jesus teaches us to pray. It's significant that immediately after that encounter with the devil, in which he sought to lead Jesus astray and lead him into seeking after an earthly physical kingdom, immediately after, Jesus takes up his ministry. And what does he do? He preaches the heavenly and spiritual kingdom. Verse 17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" It's the kingdom of heaven because it's not earthly. It's the kingdom of heaven because it originates in heaven. God Himself dwells in heaven, and God rules over the kingdom from heaven. And the fact that Jesus expresses, in connection with that kingdom, he expresses the command to repent. That command to repent is in connection with the kingdom. And it shows that in that kingdom, there is a turning away from wickedness and a turning towards righteousness. That's spiritual. A spiritual turning away from wickedness and a spiritual turning towards righteousness. The kingdom is a heavenly spiritual kingdom. So if you and I are to pray this petition properly, we need to understand that first of all. The kingdom of God is spiritual and heavenly. The kingdom of God is His gracious government over His people. His gracious government over His elect, whom He has redeemed out of the kingdom of Satan. Redeemed us out of that kingdom of Satan and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son, brought us under His obedience. Jesus is talking about the rule of God's grace. God in His grace rules in this kingdom. By His grace and Holy Spirit, He rules in our hearts. The kingdom of God is found then wherever God is acknowledged as the only good and perfect being. The kingdom of God is where God is sovereign and rules over all. Well, that kingdom is the same kingdom as the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom is that kingdom where Christ is the King. And that's why we read about Christ, that He was born King of the Jews. Already at the time of His birth, He was the Anointed One. King of the Jews, that is, King of those who are true Jews in the heart, King of those who praise God from the heart. Jesus was born the King. When He went to the cross, He went to the cross as the King of His kingdom. Written above the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And now think of us, His subjects. As Jesus experienced those torments of hell that you and I deserved when He hung on that cross as our King, our representative, we deserved those torments. We deserved to be forsaken of God and cast into outer darkness. But Jesus, our King, took our place. He was forsaken and called out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Because all the torments of hell were being poured upon Him in our place. Jesus Christ, the King, took all the curse that you and I deserve. Jesus Christ, the King, fought against the devil and sin and death, and he conquered. And by his death, he ransomed our souls from Satan's kingdom, purchased for us by his precious sacrifice all the blessings that belong to all the citizens of the kingdom. As our King, not only did he go to the cross for us, Jesus Christ, as our King, rose again. And he ascended into heaven. And now he sits at God's right hand and he rules as King of his people, dispensing all the blessings that he purchased for us. There's nothing that we have to do to purchase those blessings. Christ has purchased them all for us. And now as the King, Jesus Christ rules. From his throne, by his Spirit, he declares forgiveness to us. By his Spirit, he sets up his rule in our hearts. Our prayer, Thy kingdom come, is a prayer that God would rule us through Christ, the King. That's the kingdom we pray for when we say to God, Thy kingdom come. Rule us. How does that glorious kingdom come? We are praying that that kingdom would come, but in one sense, that kingdom has already come. The process of that kingdom began, to come already when God created the heavens and the earth. All things were created by Christ and for Christ. Already that creation was to serve the cause of the kingdom of Christ. And that Garden Eden, the Garden of Eden, was but an earthly picture of that heavenly kingdom. And we could say that about all of history. God has been working in order to bring about His glorious kingdom in the fullness of time. In order to bring about His kingdom, He sent forth His Son to take upon human flesh to redeem a people for Himself. And now, as we pointed out already, He rules in heaven. So what does it mean? How does that kingdom come when we say, Thy kingdom come? Well, there is a sense already in which that kingdom has already come to us. We are praying, Thy kingdom come, but it has already come to us. Indeed, we can only pray this petition, we can only pray it sincerely if that kingdom has already come. We can only pray, Thy kingdom come, we can only have a desire for that kingdom to come if God has already translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. By nature, the way we were in Adam, we would not want anything to do with the kingdom of God. Adam and Eve rejected that kingdom when they lifted up their fists, as it were, in God's face. When they sided with the devil, they rejected that kingdom. And that's the way we would be unless God had come to us in His grace. By nature, we were all rebels against the kingdom of God. By nature, we were far from wanting to submit ourselves to the rule of God. And so before we could ever have a right desire, before we could pray, "Thy kingdom come," sincerely, God had to work a radical work of grace in our hearts. He had to set up His rule already in our hearts through the regenerating work of His Spirit, through the sanctifying work of His Spirit. There had to be a work of grace in us before we could pray, "Thy kingdom come." Jesus had to pay for the right to do that. He had to pay for the right that we would receive the Spirit. He paid for that right to give us the Spirit by His work on the cross. And in principle, God has delivered us from Satan's kingdom and made us citizens of Christ's kingdom. And by that, in principle, I mean we have a beginning. We have a victorious beginning of Christ's kingdom set up in our hearts. And now only after that kingdom is set up, can we pray sincerely, "Thy kingdom come." The Catechism explains that petition now. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," yes, it has already come in its beginning, but we are praying "Rule us, Thy kingdom come." That is, rule us so that by Thy Word and Spirit we may submit ourselves more and more to Thee. Rule us so that we would submit ourselves more and more to Thee. That implies that kingdom has not yet been perfected. And the Catechism alludes to that as well. At the very end of that question, "Till the full perfection of Thy kingdom take place." That kingdom has not yet been perfected. It has been established in principle. We have the beginning, but it has not been perfected. So we pray, "Thy kingdom come." That is, rule us, because we have only a small beginning. We don't submit ourselves to Thy will as we ought to submit ourselves to Thy will. Rule us. And now, as the Catechism so often does, it expresses that progress that we are praying for. That's what we pray for. Rule us that we may submit ourselves more and more to Thee. That's the teaching of the Catechism, reflecting the truth of God's Word. Thy kingdom come. Yes, it has come in its beginning, but may it come to a greater degree. May thy kingdom come in my heart. Is that your desire, beloved, that you would in your lives give yourselves more and more to be ruled by Christ? Then we pray, thy kingdom come. That prayer expresses a personal desire for us, but it also expresses a petition for the church as the body of Christ. Rule us, but then it goes on, preserve and increase thy church. And someone might say, well, God has already said He's going to preserve His church. He's going to increase His church. All His elect will be saved. Why do I have to pray for something that God is going to do anyway? Well, someone might make that argument, but Jesus Himself commands us, when we pray, pray, thy kingdom come. And is it not the case that God uses those very prayers to preserve and increase His church? God's kingdom comes as regards the church, at least in two ways. In the first place, God's kingdom comes in the church when God sovereignly gathers His elect into the church. As more and more elect are gathered into the church, His kingdom comes. And that kingdom will only be complete when all the elect from all of history, when they have been gathered into the kingdom. But secondly, when we pray that God would preserve and increase the church, yes, we are praying that the elect would be gathered, but we are also praying that the church would grow spiritually, that the church would grow in its understanding of God's Word, that the church would grow in its faithfulness. We want the church to grow in its faithfulness to the doctrines of God's Word and in our practice. Who would say? Who would dare say, our church has arrived at perfection? Why does it have to grow? Of course not. We want the church to grow. Even in the church, we are far, far from perfection. The Reformers would often say that the Reformed Church is always reforming. There's always growth. That's what we pray for when we say, thy kingdom come. We don't reform the church by following after the world, but we want the church to be conformed to the Word of God. Build up the church. Build up the church by providing spiritual leaders in the church. Build up the church by providing for ministers to bring the gospel. We pray for that. Thy kingdom come. Build up the church through the work of evangelism, through our own witness in the workplace and in those that we come into contact with. Build up the church by gathering all the elect. Build up the church through missions, through home missions and foreign missions. Build up the church through the publishing of sound Reformed literature. All of that is included in our prayer. Thy kingdom come. And the petition goes on. It's not just for that positive fruit of God's work, but it's also praying that all violence, or rather that God would destroy the works of the devil. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, we're praying that the kingdom of Satan would be destroyed. The enemies of the church, not just the devil, but the world of unbelievers who rage against the church. They seek the overthrow of the church from without. And the devil has those also within the church, wolves dressed as sheep, who seek to destroy the church. So we pray, when we pray, Thy kingdom come, we're saying, put down those works of the devil. Convert those who are yet walking in rebellion, who are Thine elect. Convert them and bring them into the church. But we're also praying that God would judge those who hate Him and those who come against the church. We pray that the enemies of the church would be destroyed. And not just the enemies, but also the lies and the evil schemes that they have hatched. Those lies and evil schemes that harm the church. Destroy all false teachings that stand opposed to the Word of God. All heresies repugnant to the glorious truth of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We want those overthrown. Destroy all blasphemies that are spoken against the truth. Thy kingdom come. We're asking that God would take away all those things that would cloud, that would stand in the way of His glory that He deserves in His kingdom. Well, when we understand that, beloved, about the kingdom and how it comes, then we will understand that the petition is a spiritual petition. In other words, if we pray this petition, and if it's going to come from the heart, there needs to be a spiritual strength to make this petition that is not ours by nature. Our old man does not want to make this petition. Now, of course, it's easy to say the words mechanically. We can say the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. But to pray this petition and mean it is something that we do not have by nature. Our old man will never desire it. If I pray, rule in me so that I may more and more submit to Thy will, if I'm going to mean it, that might cost me something. If I pray to God, do whatever it takes to remove my grip on the things of this world. Do whatever it takes to pry my hand off of the treasures and pleasures of this world. That might cost me something. I might have to give up something I don't want to give up by nature. Our old man, by nature, only seeks after the things of this world. We seek after an earthly and physical kingdom. We seek after careers and pleasures. But Thy kingdom come turns that around. Thy kingdom come puts the kingdom of heaven first. And then it's difficult to pray earnestly from the heart. We would not pray that as we were in Adam, but only by the grace of God. By God's grace, as He gives us the new man, then there is a desire. Yes, I do want to serve God more and more faithfully. Yes, I do want to grow. Yes, Thy kingdom come. Our longing, of course, is not anywhere near what it ought to be. But there is a longing. There is a longing that God gives to us. And if we have, then we can examine ourselves. If we have no desire whatsoever after spiritual things, no desire after obedience to the Word of God, no desire for spiritual things, well, then we need to repent. And when we have small desires, we need to repent of only having a small desire for the things of the kingdom of God. Well, maybe there's some who say, but I don't have any desire. I look at myself and I grieve. I have no desire for the kingdom. Well, if somebody grieves that they don't have a desire, is that not a desire in itself? My desire is not what it should be. That's a desire for the things of the kingdom of God. When the Spirit plants that desire in our hearts, then we will pray from the heart, Thy kingdom come. Cause Thy kingdom to come in me. Cause Thy kingdom to come in the church. Cause Thy kingdom to come in all of the world. Thy heavenly spiritual kingdom. Grant it, we pray, for the glory of Thy name. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we are but weak creatures of the dust who don't deserve to be in Thy kingdom, who so often go after the things that don't belong in Thy kingdom. Forgive us, we pray. And may Thy kingdom come. Rule in us, that we may, by Thy grace, submit ourselves more and more to Thee. Rule in all the world by Thy grace, that Thy church would be preserved and increased. Destroy all the works of the devil. And may we look forward in hope to the day when that kingdom is perfected, when Thou dost establish the new heavens and the new earth. Go with us now, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.